Welcome back to another edition of the CJ McCollum Show. It is currently January 1st, 2024, the first day of the new year. Happy New Year to everyone. I hope this new year brings everybody joy, peace, prosperity, happiness, and all the cliche things people text you to describe how they hope you feel going forward. Lots to talk about. Before we get into this, how was your new year? Did you celebrate? Do you still celebrate?
I just am glad that you don't say Happy New Year's.
Oh, yes.
Because, you know, it's New Year. It's a new year. Mm-hmm. It's not New Year's. I think that in like when people say that they could not. I don't know. I'll come to me later. It's a bad start. See, how was my New Year's? I'm tired. I stayed up until midnight and then went immediately to sleep because I had a 5 a.m. wake up because I hosted First Take this morning. But you know, we just had a late dinner. My husband cooked steak, twice baked potato. We haven't gone out on New Year's in years. Definitely pre baby, who's now 5 years old. I know you had a game. Like, did you guys go out after the game?
I had a home game. Game at 6 o'clock. I brought some McCollum Harris 91 Blanc de Blanc to the arena.
Shout out!
I gave Bron.
I saw
a
you put that in your ice bucket.
Yeah, I forgot to chill it during the game. So after the game, I put it in my ice bucket. Pour some for Larry, pour some for Z, pour some for some of my staff. Iced, you know, had me a nice little bevy. And then I went home and we ate and I had some more nice beverages. And then I was holding the baby until like 12:30. I watched
Dave Chappelle's new special.
Did you watch the ball drop?
The Seacrest, whatever show?
I did. I seen Megan Thee Stallion perform and somebody else.
Did you see LL Cool J? Did you think he did? Because I thought he did great. He was huffing and puffing a little bit at the end, but I thought his performance was great. And the kids, if they had something to say about it, they need to appreciate. That guy's a legend.
I love the Kango hat. Shout out to LL Cool J. We went to Harvard Business School together for 4 days. Very funny guy.
Shout out to you guys.
That's a long story for another day. But
humble brag.
We did celebrate. It was cool. Had a drink. Put the baby down. And the next thing you know, it was 6:45 a.m. and it was time to be a father again. So
yeah,
great day. Great year. And
did you guys have practice today?
We did not. Beating the Lakers by 20 assured us an off day.
That's nice.
Which is beautiful.
So, but you didn't get to sleep in.
I didn't. I was up at 6:45, but that's life. That's the life I chose.
Yes. I mean, but it's been a loungy day.
Very loungy.
That's what New Year's is supposed to be. And you're going to settle in, watch the college football playoff.
Yeah. Roll Tide. Roll Tide. So, this will come out tomorrow. Roll Tide.
That's just why? Why are you on Bama?
Every year I bet on the college football playoff in the national championship, and I won 3 straight years, and I lost on the year of my son's birth. I was watching the game, you know, right before he was pushed out.
Yeah, yeah.
And
as your dear wife was in labor.
Yeah, I ended up turning the TV off. I turned the TV off to lock in on the birth and the help. But long story short, I just feel like, first of all, I'm from Ohio, so I'm not betting on Michigan. But second of all, Nick Saban, the quarterback, I think his name is Jalen Milroe.
Okay.
If I'm saying that right. Sorry if I butchered your name, brother. My money's on you anyway. I just think they're just talented. They know how to win. They have a winner's DNA. And with all those athletes on both sides of the ball, I don't feel like they're going to lose. And I think Michigan's reaction when they were gifted a matchup against Alabama told me everything I needed to know about them. And that's why it's roll damn tight.
You're either going to sound like the smartest man in the world when this podcast gets released, or we just spent a couple minutes talking nonsense, because we'll know the result by the time this podcast comes out. Because that game, as we're recording right now, it's 4:30. That game's about to start in a half hour. What I'm watching on my TV right now is OG Anunoby's New York Knicks debut.
Wow.
And Precious Achiuwa. Malachi Flynn is on the bench right now. But what did you think when you heard about that trade? RJ Barrett, Emmanuel Quickley off to Toronto, Canada. RJ gets to go back home. He already said, you know, he's happy. He grew up a Raptors fan. Talking to Knicks fans, they're really upset about losing Emmanuel Quickley. They think he's going to go off. But so far, OG is, you know, through halftime, playing with a lot of energy, which he always does. What did you think of that, Trey, when that crossed? And do you think it's a nice fit?
I think it's a good trade for both teams. One, I feel like the Knicks didn't want to pay Quickley. Quickley is due for a huge payday. So shout out to Quick. He's probably going to get $100 million or potentially more, depending on how he shows up and shows out in Toronto. I think the Knicks wanted a 3-and-D guy. Obviously, RJ's versatile. He can score. He can run some pick and roll. His jumper has continued to get better. But I think they were looking for someone who's just more 3-and-D, shoots a lot of corner threes. I think that's Thibodeau in their offense, the way it's kind of been ran historically. Dante shoots a lot of threes, specifically in the corner. Obviously, Jalen Brunson handles the ball a lot. You have another really good lefty in Julius Randle. And I think they were looking to add an energy guy who can rebound and guard multiple positions in Precious. And then you get OG, who's probably going to be a free agent soon, but is sturdy, who's dependable, who doesn't really need the ball, can catch and shoot and kind of play as that natural third option. I think for Toronto, they obviously are heading in a different direction and trying to acquire different pieces and talent and figuring out what they're going to do going forward. But you get Quickley, who's very good. He's an explosive scorer, works well in pick and rolls, ISO situations, can shoot off the bounce and catch and shoot. You get RJ Barrett, who's Canadian, extremely talented, tall, versatile, and will probably have a chip on his shoulder because he was traded. And I think for both teams, it's a win because one team is able to get a very valuable player while getting off another player who's very good but due for a big payday. And another team is able to get an explosive guard and a versatile wing in RJ Barrett. So I like the trade for both teams, and I think it'll be a win-win situation, not as similar to when the Pacers traded for Tyrese, but I think it'll be a situation where you look at both teams and the success they're going to have from this trade going forward.
Yeah, I mean, look, he gives the Knicks, you know, a perimeter defender with size, something that, you know, their rotation didn't have. At 26 years old, like, he's still like on the ups in terms of his career. He's also a CAA client, so that, you know, that helps, because, you know, that was Leon Rose's former workplace, and so the belief is that, you know, maybe they can work out a deal this summer. Because the initial reaction was, you are giving up all that for an expiring contract, but they didn't. They made the trade without using a single first round pick, and they retained the, you know, expiring contract of Evan Fournier, you know, kind of get a head start on salary matching in the next trade. So a lot of people are thinking that the Knicks really aren't done yet. Obviously, another CAA client that keeps coming up with the Knicks is Donovan Mitchell. So we'll see if, like, you know, Leon Rose obviously making the first big splash of the trade season. We'll see if they're done yet. But this, yeah, he is, as you mentioned, he's one of the better 3-and-D players. He led the NBA in steals last season. In terms of, like, can he fit in Tibbs' style? He spoke before the game today. He thinks he's a tough guy. I don't know. How many conversations have you had with OG?
Not a lot, man, besides when he's guarded me throughout the years in playing against Toronto. But he's got a good sense of humor. He's athletic. I remember reading an article about how he texted Dame and said, "Welcome to Toronto," during the trade deadline, like, just to trick Dame into thinking that he was coming to Toronto. But he's got a good sense of humor. I heard he's got a good work ethic. Super strong, super sturdy, dependable guy who shows up and is a consummate professional is what everybody says about him.
Yeah. I say low-key, and most people think I'm crazy when I say this, that he is one of the funniest guys in the NBA. Because he will deadpan you, and not in like an Andre Iguodala way where you know he's trying to make you feel uncomfortable, but he will just deadpan you. And did you see, like, the Serge Ibaka show when they went back and forth, but scarves. Remember that?
Yeah, I've seen that. He said, "This is art. But I don't do fashion. I do art."
Yes, yes. But he's on the surface, he's very quiet, but it's going to be interesting to see how he fits in with that New York media, because he will, like, he doesn't show a lot of emotion, but if you kind of understand that, like, he's very dry, you can enjoy him. But if you don't understand it, you're going to be like, it's going to feel like pulling teeth to get a quote from him. But it's going to, I don't know. New York, You know, if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere, they say. So we'll see. I don't think the Knicks are done yet. I think they're trying to go for it all in a very competitive East. Like, does this change your mind about the Knicks at all?
I don't think it changes my mind about the Knicks. I think they were good before the trade. I think they'll be good after the trade. I think it's more about the next move that they make in terms of positioning yourselves alongside the likes of the Boston Celtics, the Milwaukee Bucks, and a healthy Miami Heat team. Obviously,
and the Sixers.
I like the Sixers a lot, but I'm talking about teams who have consistently positioned themselves for championships. Boston. Okay. And Milwaukee, what Giannis haven't won one already. Those are the two teams I think everybody is kind of measuring themselves up against. Even the Sixers, who are very, very good, they may also be making a trade here at some point. I think a lot of teams are trying to figure out how do they get better, how do they have more depth, add versatility to their roster so that they can compete against the likes of a Boston Celtics team who shoots a lot of threes, who switches a lot. And then you have the Bucks who are rolling. Nobody's really talking about them. They're just winning games each night and playing really well and basically having the best offense in the NBA in terms of ability to put up points per game, pick and roll when they run the Giannis Dame pick and roll. So those are teams that are very, very good at the top of the East. And then you have Embiid, who's unstoppable and is going to score 35 points in 33 minutes every night.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you are into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Yeah, I mean, it's an uphill climb for teams like the Knicks, and that's why you feel like, you know, that they're trying to swing for something. Especially because there's this feeling that they don't yet have their, like, superstar that can lead them to the title yet. Like, Jalen Brunson has been amazing this season. And, you know, we saw Becky Hammon kind of garner some attention for her comments. You know, a couple weeks ago when she said that Jalen Brunson, while he's an all-NBA player, someone his size wasn't capable of being the 1A on a championship team. Mm-hmm. And look, 1A, it's like a handful of guys in the league. But as a guard, you know, in our rundown, it says as a smaller guard, I don't know if I feel comfortable calling you a smaller guard, but maybe, it depends on who you're standing next to. How did you feel about those comments? And like, how did you receive them? Because I think it's about how you interpret like what she's saying.
Yeah, I think twofold. She's saying that Jalen Brunson is extremely talented. He's an all-NBA player. He's an all-star caliber player who's going to make another all-star. And he's the type of guy you can build a franchise around. What she's saying is that it's hard to win a championship, which is completely different than everything else we've talked about in discussing Jalen Brunson. With a guy who is your number one option, your 1A, and is short or small in stature. It's not to say that he's not good. It's not to say that he's not talented. He's all those things. He can win you playoff games. What she's saying is that it hasn't been proven that a small guard can win a championship. Obviously, you have the Isaiah Thomases of the world who have done it, and they did it with two small guards in Joe Dumars and Isaiah Thomas. So it is possible. What she's saying is that historically, the league favors taller, bigger, or more strong like athletes, you know, Steph Curry.
Especially this, now.
There's a situation in which the rule is the rule, but there's things that are outside the norm or outside the rule. And there's a few players who are outside the norm. But historically, she's right. Outside of like Allen Iverson, Steph Curry, who didn't win a title, but was good enough to get him there. I think I understood her point. Now, as a fan,
it's factually correct. The receipts are there.
Yeah, the receipts are there. So I didn't take offense to it. And I think if anything, it was a compliment saying that he's really good. He can get you probably to a championship or get you close to it, but it's hard to consistently win a championship when your best player is also your smallest player, which makes sense. I understand it. And you could argue some nights Julius Randle may be the best player on that team. You could argue most nights it's probably Jalen Brunson because of his versatility, his pick and roll, his ISO, his efficiency. He has everything. But in order to win a championship, it takes a team. I think that's what the Knicks are continuing to try to build. That's what their fan base wants them to build. And I think they're heading in the right direction. As you said before, they may not be done. But coming out of that Eastern Conference, it's going to be tough. You're going to need lots of weapons. And Jalen Brunson is good enough to win you games. And that's been proven already. But I understood what she said. I get her point. And I think as they continue to progress and get closer to the playoffs, I think the Knicks will be happy because they have a good team. Like, the Garden is rocking, you know, every night.
Yeah.
And they have what it takes to make the playoffs and have an impactful playoffs. It's just a matter of whether or not they can win a championship, which is still to be questioned.
It's interesting because we talk about this trade and, you know, everyone loves to grade the trade, who won the trade. I don't know. It always comes down to, we'll see how it all pans out. I mean, look what happened with the Kings and Pacers. Like, you still to this day, you know, can't say like one team or the other won that trade. I'm not comparing this trade to that one. Just you have to see how it pans out. But you could argue though that the Pistons were the real winners of this trade, because the Raptors were shorthanded due to the trade. And you know, the Pistons were able to take advantage and snap their record 28 game losing streak. You mentioned not wanting to be that team. No one wanted it. I mean, well, everyone knew what was going on in the league. I mean, Cam Thomas mentioned it in his post game interview. Like, everyone knows what's going on. No one wants to be that team, you know, that lets the streak get broken. But does Toronto get like some sort of bailout because of the timing? Because, you know, it was right after the trade and they lost three players and, you know, didn't get their new guys in yet.
It's very hard to win this league. So understanding that, you look at the situation, a shorthanded team, a trade is just made. So it's an emotional high that becomes a little lower because you're losing on some teammates, gaining new teammates. So it's probably mixed feelings for the organization as you try to get better and position yourself to be better going forward. And then you have the Pistons, who have been competitive throughout the season, but have continued to lose consistently.
I mean, they pushed the Celtics
to overtime.
Yes.
Right? So it was just a matter of when, not if. And I'm glad that it happened against a team that wasn't New Orleans Pelicans. But I will say that they have a lot of young talent. They're getting better. They obviously have a great coach in Monty. And it's just about stringing together good habits daily and understanding that it is hard to win this league. And I think they just showed you that. When things go bad, they can go really bad in this league. And when they go well, you can get on a nice little run. It's a life and season of ebbs and flows for sure.
Did you watch any of those like losses? Like, what was sticking out to you is about why they just like, what's like, there's a lot of young teams in this league.
I can't say that I was tuned into the Detroit Pistons. throughout the season.
I'm just trying to understand how you like,
can't say
games.
That that's one of the teams I watch on League Pass, but what I will say,
it wasn't your League Pass. Okay.
When I check the highlights, I'm seeing a lot of youth. I'm seeing a team that competes, but a team that is still learning on the fly. You need veteran leadership. You need players that have experience in order to win games, and I think they're gaining experience consistently. But sometimes talent's just not enough. You have to know how to play the game. You have to learn how to play the game. You have to learn how to win. I think that they are so young, they're learning all those things on the fly, and you're able to see a lot of the growing pains that they're having throughout this year because they're so young.
And I wonder, like, we always talk about the fit of teams. Like, I wonder the fit of Monty coaching veteran teams during, like, you know, the last couple of years, and that transition for him developing young guys if that like has really gelled to start. Clearly it hasn't. But doesn't mean that they can't get there, because he's one of the best coaches in the league. And also, you know, like, could you make that same argument with Greg Popovich? There's no denying that Greg Popovich is one of the greatest coaches, but sometimes like a young developing team, when you're used to winning and used to having guys who kind of know what to do in a lot of situations through experience, how that translates in the locker room, like your messaging when you're used to talking to veterans, like, has he adjusted that to developing guys who are learning how to be pros? So that's my way of criticizing Monty, but also wondering if just sometimes it can just not be the best fit that will get you in a rut and it's hard to get out.
Yeah, I think that's true. In multiple ways. You look at what Pop's going through with San Antonio. First of all, they got a lot of talent. They have arguably the most versatile player in the NBA in Wimby. They got scoring guards. They got Zach Collins, who's a really good role player who could do a lot of different things for you. They obviously have Pop, who's seen every type of defense, every type of offense. He's seen the game for a long time, and yet they still continue to lose games. I think a part of it is development, right? You talked about teams being able to develop players. One way you're able to develop players is by allowing them to play through mistakes. And sometimes those mistakes are going to cost you games. I think you're seeing that in both of those teams, where younger players are playing and they're showing signs of growth. They're showing signs of development. Their skill set is continuing to blossom. They're learning how to run pick and rolls, learning how to help defensively, learning how to close out games. And then the other part of it is these games are close. They're not just getting blown out. The last 5 minutes clutch time is basically execution. Who wants it more? And a little bit of coaching, because your coach has to put you in position to succeed. But this is on the players to execute down the stretch of games. And until you play in those uncomfortable games, in those uncomfortable moments where you're either playing with the lead or playing from behind and have to execute that much better, you don't really know how to do it. And I think they're going through that phase right now. And Monty, who's obviously been in the league for a long time and played in the league, is battling with developing players versus playing older players versus getting them to mesh, getting them to kind of understand that it's really, really hard to win in this league. And you can do everything right in a game and lose because you have less talent. And you could do a lot of things wrong and win because you're just a smarter basketball player who understands how to manipulate the game. So I think there's two ways you can look at this and say that they need more time. Obviously, these veteran coaches need more time with this young team to kind of get them ready. And you play games so much. How do you really develop players in season outside of workouts? You can't really practice. You can't scrimmage. You can't be like, all right, let's just scrimmage.
How many practices did you have in December?
I mean,
like a handful?
Yeah. And in the days that we did have practice, it was 60 minutes. And that's 15 minutes of film, 45 minutes of action on the court, 15 minutes of live action. And that's if you don't have a back-to-back, if you're not traveling. If you have a travel day, you can't scrimmage because you're traveling, landing. It's late.
Not to mention, you guys went to Vegas and, you know, had that whole in-season tournament. So
And there's no contact practice while you're in Vegas, because it's like the NCAA tournament where it's an open practice. So you factor in the travel, the games, the workload. We're about to play, three games in four nights, We basically play 3.5 to 4 games a week this entire month. So it's been brutal. It's been brutal.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and look, and so when you're like in that rut, it's also a mental game where, you know, you can't get out of your own way. And a lot of part of this game is being able to like be free out there and be present.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You know, someone who has been showing that he's like enjoying the game that he missed for a while to start the season was John Morant. You know, he did you notice when he did a little dance against you guys? It garnered a lot of criticism because, you know, Ja's kind of a target right now. What, if anything, did you think about the dance, and how do you feel about the way that Ja is being covered post suspension? Is he being held to too harsh of a standard or appropriate standard, given that he's essentially like being monitored to see if he's learned his lesson, if you will?
Well, I didn't like that they beat us twice. I didn't like that at all, right. Especially at home. In two games, I felt like we should have won. We had the lead. We had momentum. We blew a lead in the fourth quarter in one of them. In the second one, we didn't execute. And then there was a controversial call, et cetera, that allowed us to go into overtime. But I'll start with how he's playing. He's playing really well. He's obviously very confident. He's obviously putting in a lot of time. And you've seen the explosiveness, the athleticism, the leadership, the ability to break down a defense, score and pick and roll, all those things. He gave that team life right away. A team that had only won, what, six games? They were like 6-17 without him. They go on a four-game winning streak immediately upon his return. They become the best offensive rebounding team in the NBA. They become the first or second best defensive team in the NBA right away. His transition, his ability to put pressure on the defense makes their defense that much better because now they're scoring in the half court and in transition. That's the first part. Second part is the dance. I didn't mind it because this is a guy who's having fun. He was away from the game for a long time. And those that listen to certain songs, those that watch certain music videos know that that was a part of a music video, a part of a song. And they kind of read into that as more than what it actually was. In having conversations with him, I think he has learned. I think he has grown. And I think it's more about what he's doing, you know, in his spare time and continue to do the right things, continuing to show improvement in decision making and continue to understand that he has a chance to make not only generational wealth, but to change so many lives with the game of basketball based on the fact that people look up to him, kids look up to him. A lot of players look up to him. You see the hair, you see the way he dyes the front hair, the shoes, the commercials, the endorsements. He's a very personable player who has an infectious personality that a lot of people gravitate towards. And I think it's important that he utilizes that properly. And I think him dancing, whatever, I don't care. If you're going to beat a team, dance. I would do the same thing. So I don't mind that. And I think in terms of how he's been viewed since his return, there's obviously a lot of eyes on him. He's a spectacle in terms of him being must-see TV. The Grizzlies games now are sold out in Memphis, whereas before they were pretty empty. I think that shows you that people are watching, and most people want him to do well. Some people are probably plotting on his demise and hoping he fails, but I think the attention he's receiving now is justified. He's a global figure. He has a huge brand. He has a signature shoe at Nike for a reason. So they're going to monitor your every move and make sure you're doing things appropriately. And they're going to have comments about things when they feel like you're not doing them appropriately. So I think it's fine. It's just, and as long as he continues to win games and do what he's supposed to do on the court and behave well off the court, the opinions are just that. They're opinions.
Yeah, I mean, the spotlight is bright if you're a superstar in this league. I think that when it comes to him, you know, a couple years ago, his dance moves and him doing the gritty, like that was perceived as amazing. You know, like this is he's an NBA darling. That team were the darlings of the NBA. Now, obviously, like there's the history, like some may still see it as such. Like the thing is that Ja's doing exactly what he did and how he played with that like youthful energy and love for the game and having fun, that if he were to change, we had this conversation, like we had a podcast before he was about to make his return, curious as to if he was going to like lose his edge a bit. And it certainly doesn't seem like he has one bit. And I think that's good for the league. Like how he plays with that infectious energy on the court is, you know, that shouldn't change. It's about his decision making off of the court that should be under the spotlight, not what's on the court, because this is who he's always been, someone who loves to have fun. And so, they are playing really well. I mean, what a comeback he had with the game winner. Like that was storybook in his first game back. But I know you don't want to talk about them winning any more games. Let's talk about you guys winning a game. You guys just beat the Lakers. And before we get to that game, I want to get your thoughts on a Lakers loss, another one against Minnesota on LeBron's 39th birthday. He posted that picture of his foot behind the line. He was like, what a birthday present this was for me. Did you think his foot was on the line against Minnesota in that potential game tying three? Because, you know, some people said, well, you took the wrong picture frame or video frame, and your foot was on the line before that. So I don't know.
In real time, it was very hard to tell. You knew his foot was close. When they slowed it down frame by frame, there was a point in which I thought that his foot was behind the line. But then as you look closer to it, when he goes to kind of push off the shoot, it does look like it appears as if his foot is on the line. So I think it's them breaking it down by video, image by image, and coming through with conclusive evidence saying that it was clearly a two. Then they review it post game, the 2-minute report, and say that the call was correct and that they reviewed it again and said it was a two. Generally, I would argue, but there's no way that they messed up on video imaging.
Yeah.
In two consecutive days where there are pictures with that, there are pictures where it clearly looks like his foot is on the line. So I think it's tough. You know, you never want to see a game come down to that type of decision, but the referee called it a two originally, and it turns out that he was right. And this is a situation in which it's hard to be right making a split second decision. And the referees got this one right. And if they got it wrong, and I believe they got it wrong, I would definitely say that too, because I shot the ball 19 times last game and I shot 0 free throws against those same Lakers.
Okay. I'm just saying though, like,
just wanted to say that
for the voice of LeBron fans, you know, you couldn't give him a birthday present on his 39th birthday, the face of the league. So
that wasn't in the script.
Okay. That wasn't in the script. That's right. That's right. You gonna play to your 39 as a fellow 39-year-old? My back hurts. I don't know how he's doing it.
I will not. I will be chasing around Jacoby, taking Margo to.
By that time, Jacoby's going to be chasing you around.
Well, that's not that long from now. We're talking about 6.5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Six. He'll be 8.5, and she'll be 6.5. Yeah. We'll be having some fun extracurricular activities I can take them to, and we'll be going to WNBA games, NFL games, college games. Baseball games here or there. I look forward to it.
My daughter is a huge New York Liberty fan. Aww. Huge. Because WNBA games, as you're wearing a WNBA sweatshirt, are so much fun. I don't know what it is. Like, no disrespect to NBA games. Maybe I'm just biased because I'm always at
whenever you
games.
Say no disrespect, it's followed by something very disrespectful.
Exactly. I remember the phrase that I didn't like, couldn't care less. And people say, I could care less all the time. It's also written in movie scripts. And now you're going to hear people, because the majority of people say, I could care less. But when you say, I could care less, you're literally saying the opposite.
That you could
care less. That is in the same category as Happy New Year's to me.
I'm glad it took you 32 minutes to figure this out. And I'm very happy to know this now. And I think all our listeners are excited to not care any less in the new year. New Year's.
Did you guys do anything fun for the holidays?
Christmas was really dope because we were off, so I got to watch games.
Yes.
I got to have some.
Did you watch the Lakers-Celtics game?
I did watch a little bit of the Lakers-Celtics game. I watched the Bucks-Knicks.
You watched football, didn't you?
I may or may not be a football guy.
See, but did you know how messed up that is? Because the NFL is trying to steal our day.
They are. So what I do is I watch the basketball games that I want to watch. And then, you know, when Jimmy and them decided that they weren't going to play because of injury, I decided to go watch football.
You still should have had it on in the background. Just to prove a point.
For the ratings.
The president of the Players Association, we needed to, I mean, we were never going to, you know, stick it to the NFL. But
I think the difference is we have 41 home and away games. They have 17. Eight of them are home. Eight of them are away. They play on Sundays, and they did a tremendous job of taking advantage of a holiday where there's a lot of citizens, not only in the United States, but outside of it, at home, yearning to watch sports.
Are you the president of the NFL Players Association, too?
No, but what I'm saying is we have our fans who love NBA, and there are fans who love NFL, and there are some fans who watch both. I'm a fan of just good competition, so I was watching the cornhole tournament the other day on ESPN, by the way, which is fantastic if you haven't watched it.
Company man, you are.
Because they are talented. And it was entertaining because I was learning new techniques on like how I should throw the bag and the angles and all that stuff.
You play cornhole a lot?
I say all this to say that the NBA is not going anywhere, neither is the NFL. And if we have great games on holidays with players playing, they have nothing to worry about. And I do play cornhole. I have two custom boards. One of them is a Lehigh board. One of them is a Portland Trailblazer board, which I probably won't use anymore, and I'll get a new Pelicans board.
Why? It's always a part of you.
It is, but it
just
feels weird.
You just gotta get a Pelicans one too.
Yeah, it feels weird being in New Orleans and just, you know, shooting on a Trailblazer joint.
You don't need to get rid of Portland. You just need to add a Pelicans one, and then you can just do three.
I like that mentality. So we'll do that, and I usually shoot on Lehigh, but then I we switch and I get buckets on the Trailblazer one too, like old times.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't really have a college experience, so I never really played cornhole.
What do you mean you didn't have a college experience? I'm not going to let you get that off.
I lived at home. I went to Northwestern, and I grew up in Evanston, where Northwestern is.
In the Shire, though.
Basically commuted.
It's pretty right
by
the water.
And I hung out with all the townies that didn't go to college and stayed back home.
But you still went to bars and this, like,
no,
what is
I really
it?
Didn't.
West Loop.
I worked full time because Northwestern was expensive, and my parents had no reason sending me there. So I had to work full time and commute from home.
Sorry to hear
so
that.
I didn't really have a college experience all the way down to not knowing, not really playing cornhole or going to college parties. I went to I didn't really go to college parties.
I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah, but,
you know, choices in life, they led me to this point. Having this conversation
successful
with you.
You became very successful. You had your moments in Vegas where you were able to do the things that you like to do in Vegas.
Yeah.
And because you worked full time, you were able to provide for not only yourself, but for some of those nights on the town with the townies.
That's exactly right. You know, we all take our own journeys. Your journey led you to where you are now in New Orleans. Is there anything else you want to say about what's going on with the Pelicans before we sign off for our first show of 2014? Oh, wait. 2014?
2014 is crazy. Wow, that's 10 years ago.
2014 was an amazing year, though. Take me back, to be honest.
It was. Do you remember what happened in 2014?
To you?
Yeah, I introduced myself to you, and you thought I was a journalist.
Oh. The trap. You can't tell people that. I immediately remembered. You see now my cough's coming out. I immediately remembered. You can't just tell the people don't have no idea what you're talking about. We met at the draft, okay, after his rookie year, and you know he was doing his journalism thing, and I had like no idea. I was bopping around in a white suit because I was so silly. I thought it was Miami Vice out there. I got like all this makeup all over this. Never mind. That's a side story, but. You were with, who are you with?
Lance Fresh.
Lance Fresh. You were with Lance Fresh.
Shout out to Lance Fresh.
And I recognized Lance, but I didn't recognize you
she had
at
no
the
idea
time.
Who I was.
And then when you said my name's CJ, I go, oh my God, you're CJ McCollum. And then you held it against me.
10 years ago.
Very day. Sorry.
It's okay. I'm a journalist
still. Honestly, for being a reporter whose job is to like, identify people and, you know, strike conversations. I'm the worst. I am the, I am, I, if I could have a superpower, if I had a choice, if there was a menu of superpowers, I would 100% over invisible, over flying, over predicting the future, it would be to remember freaking faces and names.
Wow. Well,
it would be a photographic memory.
Add that to the list.
Yeah. What would yours be?
I would choose
transporting.
Teleportation, ability to be able to go forward and backwards in time.
That's different.
Both. Teleporting means I could just pop up there. But what about,
like, you're in LA and then you could snap your fingers and you're, I used to like.
Time travel.
Yeah, time travel is different than teleporting.
Can you teleport to time travel?
I just feel like that's like a next level. I feel like that's cheating superpowers. It's just like one or the other.
But if you do it, can you do it forwards and backwards? Can you go into time, back?
No, because one is time travel and one is teleporting.
So I can only go backwards, not forwards? Is that what that means?
No, you can only go from present time in one place to present time in the other place.
Is that fun?
Like, I guess
that
would be cool. So say you have a game in LA and, you know, you're on the phone with your wife and you hear Jacoby crying and you click your fingers and then you're there with Jacoby. That's teleporting. Time travel is you get in the DeLorean, you tap the
I want time travel.
I don't. I feel like you've watched too many movies. Only bad things come from time travel. You're going to mess up the past. Wish.
You can't do
You're
this.
You're going to mess up the past and you have to go back and fix everything. Did you watch Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure 2? Come on now.
I don't want to change things. There's some things I just want to do again.
It's too much stress in time travel.
I can go through draft night again. I could go play in like games again. Hit the same shots. Like, it would be so fun. I could go to the same parties again.
You wouldn't hit the really same cool. shots. Haven't you watched movies?
I would play and prepare the same way. The nights I went out before games, I would still go out. Of the nights I didn't.
It wouldn't work out that way.
I'd probably still go out because I didn't play well on some of the nights I didn't go out. And it's like, is this why I played bad tonight?
And then,
I was too focused.
Your life would be completely different. You would have 4 girls. Like, different wife. You'd be it would change. Too much stress. I'm stressed out thinking about it.
You just ruined my dream.
I could care less about wanting to time travel. All right, we got to wrap this up.
We said 25 minutes. It's been 40. Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New Year. I'm going to go on another tangent.
Everybody must go home now and enjoy yourselves.
Yes. Happy New Year 2014. Yay!